Summit County Council meeting in a work session Wednesday starting at 1:40. They'll be meeting at the County Courthouse in Colville. In the studio with a rundown of that agenda, I have County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
You're going to start in work session basically with just some interviews with regard to the PO Recreation Special Service District.
Yeah, it's just we've got a couple of openings on that. I think one opening on that Administrative Control Board. They're also making an appointment later in the day to the Timberland Special Service District Board. Just regular business to keep those boards filled so that they can continue to do their business.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, what recreation is happening in Peoa?
Well, you know, Peoa has a rodeo grounds and a park associated with that that this group takes care of and programs. They do have special events there during the summer that they are in charge of. And so it has a special service district because they have the ability to collect revenue around that and also apply for grants. So that's why this group exists.
Okay. From the interviews, then, the council will meet in closed session discussing property acquisition, reopening the work session at about 3:45, talking a little bit about the conversation with council events. And have you heard any feedback in terms of what the council heard during these?
Well, I mean, of course, we attended all of these as staff. Some of our staff members, I was able to get to all of them. So, you know, we've got our own list of things that we took out of that. But, you know, it's always good since only two council members go to each, it's always good to kind of do a review because we hear different things from each of them. You know, the one we do in Colville is different from Camas than different from Kimball Junction. So we want to compare those notes and make sure that staff has a complete list of things that the council is concerned about coming out of those conversations with council.
Okay. At its last meeting, a good turnout for the Truth and Taxation hearing with regard to the Snyderville Basin Special Recreation District tax increase. The council scheduled to take a decision on this?
Or? Yeah, I mean, we need to adopt a budget before the end of the year for the Snyderville Basin Special Recreation District. This is our last meeting of the year. As was discussed during the last council meeting, a couple of council members, staff, and the board of Basin Rec did meet last Thursday. I haven't actually heard the results of that yet. I was not in attendance, but that will be discussed on Wednesday, as well as how that will impact their budget.
Okay. Does Basin Rec require a positive vote from the county council?
For their budget, but also for Truth and Taxation. I think the council has to adopt that.
Okay, so if the council doesn't think that's the right thing to do to increase property taxes by $2.4 million, the Basin Rec would have to do without.
That's right. They would have to adjust their budget to do that. And, you know, since we're getting towards the end of the year, they could do something similar to what they did with Mountain Regional's budget last week, where if you know, in that case, if the Administrative Control Board decided that they didn't agree with the council on that stepped rate increase, they could adopt their rate and amend their budget after the first of the year. So we'll see what happens with both of those.
Okay. Let's see. Also, a discussion and possible action of a county work plan. Tell me about this for the fiscal year.
Yeah. So this current year, we did this in the first quarter of the year. It was our first attempt to kind of make sure that we had what we call a compact between the council and staff on what work items are going to be done, major work items are going to be done during the year, both from a strategic plan standpoint and then other work. It's a way of opening the discussion when those opportunities come up during the year for other types of work that come up, whether there's a grant opportunity or whether someone brings another project forward. We can then enter that into the compact discussion and say, is there something that we want to take off of our list in order to not overburden staff or not do something as well because of a new project? We're doing it in conjunction with the budget this year. because they match so well. Our work plan is supported by the budget. So we're just doing it at a different time of year.
Okay. So in terms of some of those work plans, where do things start with some of the property development, the decision about the priorities and functions for Klein Dolly and Gilmore?
Yeah. So I think those kind of grow out of discussions that we have during the year with council. Some things, you know, we have a as work goes on during the year, we have a long list of things that I take notes on, that Jana takes notes on this kind of like a parking lot list of things to be discussing for the next year, property development being one of those, future capital projects being on those lists as well. So we enter those into the work plan process. We had a retreat with the council a few weeks ago to discuss the work plan and where the council wants to go. And now we're bringing that back to them to discuss for the next year.
So have those property been plugged into this?
Those are on the list for things we're going to work on next year.
Yeah. What about the future of the county solid waste program? We need to make a decision about collections.
Yeah, that's a big one. We have a collections contract that comes up at the beginning of 2022. So if we were going to either put that out to bid for private haulers to take care of, plus all the different things that we'd want within a service, or if we decided to take that in-house, the decision to take it in-house and control collections is even a bigger decision and would take at least a year to a year and a half to ramp up the system, to put infrastructure in place, to put employees in place, all those types of things in order to do that. So we've got some decisions to make in the first quarter of this next year on direction for that.
Yeah, that's also a philosophical decision, though, right? In terms of, I mean, do we, you know, government, people say government's too big as it is. You know what? We've already got a private industry doing this. Why not just let them do it?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is philosophical at that level, but it's also, you know, we have a demand for high levels of service here. And sometimes having direct control over that, you can control your customer service a lot better than you can through a third party. Sometimes that can be done better through contracting as well. So I think we're going to be discussing all that to see which direction we want to go. There's a huge cost associated, kind of an ancillary cost associated with taking it in-house around insurance and around whether we can actually get employees to do that type of work here in the county. You know, I kind of compare it to our difficulty of getting transit drivers and how much we've had to work in order to do that. It's a big discussion.
Yeah. I mean, do you really think we can get higher levels of service for less money?
Oh, I'm not saying it's going to be less money. I didn't say that. I think we would have to make the decision as a community about what level of service we want to afford.
All right. Also, a decision needs to be made with regard to revenue for the health department and solid waste about whether we pursue an increase to the health mill levy or if there's another funding model that should be studied.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a year-long discussion. I don't think you're going to see necessarily. I don't really know where that's going to go at this point. There are different ideas floating around in the county about how to fund solid waste in the future, how to further fund the full implementation of our health code. I think that the council needs to be fully engaged in those discussions by staff to give some good direction.
Okay. So the final budget is scheduled for approval adoption when?
Wednesday night.
Okay. So this is the final chance for people to say something, huh?
That's correct. Our public hearings happen after 6 p.m. for those. You're going to see the North Summit Fire District have a public hearing. You'll see the continuation of discussion earlier in the agenda on the Basin Rec budget and truth and taxation process, and then the county's budget later that evening.
Okay. Finally, what about the Silver Creek Bittner connection? When is that decision going to get made?
I think we're trying to line up the council to make a decision late in January. Derek Radke, who is one of the key staff members for that discussion, has a commitment mid-month that won't allow him to be at the meeting. So probably the 22nd is a Wednesday, somewhere in that later couple weeks of January.
So is this the last meeting of the year?
It is the last scheduled meeting of the year. Okay. If we have any other business, we'll let you know.
All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
That's all I've got today, Leslie.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. It's 8:31 now. Good morning. With the Park City Planning Commission meeting tomorrow night starting at 5:30 in the City Council Chambers. In the studio with a preview, Planning Director Bruce Erickson. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Let's see. The Park City Board of Adjustment is supposed to meet tonight for the second time to discuss an appeal of the Woodside Park Phase 2 Master Plan Development Application. That has been continued. How come?
The appellant had an illness and would not be able to attend, so we agreed that we would continue it to another date so that the person doing the appeal could actually be present.
Sure. So when is it being continued to?
Right now we're looking at a date in January. We just need to make sure there's a quorum present. So it will likely be January 21. We're just verifying the quorum.
Yeah. Does that then create any problems if, in fact, this goes forward?
No, not really. This is a normal appeal and needs to take action in the normal course of things. And the housing department is moving forward with other issues on the plan other than the setback that the appellant is talking about.
Well, let's just talk a little about what is being debated here. The argument is the same?
Yeah, the appeal is basically the same. Our land management code obviously has inconsistencies in it because there's been six planning directors over the last five decades, and all of us have our different philosophies. And in this particular case, the MPD that was being applied for requires a 25-foot setback around the perimeter. And it also allows the applicant to request a setback to the zone setbacks. And this was a point that Cascadia brought up in their housing discussion with the City Council last Thursday, is that this inconsistency is not a good idea. And the City Council and Cascadia roughly agreed and said the master plan process is really good for 5,000-acre ski areas, but not really good for 2-acre housing projects. And so Planner Tyler and Planner Ward are relooking at the land management code to solve these problems as quickly as possible per the direction from the City Council last week.
So what should we expect to change when it comes before the Board of Adjustment again?
When the Board of Adjustment meets, the Board of Adjustment will decide whether or not the code was applied correctly. That's their decision. It's not a policy conversation. The policy conversation comes from the City Council. So the Board of Adjustment is going to say, yes, Planning Commission, you applied the setback rule correctly, or no, you did not meet the standards that are required by the Land Management Code for the setbacks.
So, I mean, just because you've admitted that the code's all over the place, I mean, does the city have a defense here?
Yeah, they do. I mean, as far as I'm concerned as planning director, we applied the code correctly. And this is a discretionary action by the Planning Commission, and they have the power to make this discretionary action.
All right. Due to state medical cannabis legislation, Park City needs apparently to make some changes to the land management code to comply with state zoning mandates. Is this similar to how close a liquor store can be to a school and things like that?
Very, very similar. Medical cannabis is roughly equivalent to how the state regulates liquor. We're not having to make too many changes in order to do that, other than we're proposing one rezone, if you will, or an overlay zone in order to have a place to do cannabis production and testing, which is different than a pharmacy. Right, so you can sell it out of a pharmacy according to state law, which is roughly consistent with how you would do a retail liquor store. There are no locations to grow cannabis in Summit County, according to state law at this point. All 8 licenses have gone to counties outside of Summit and Wasatch County. However, the city is required to have a location where you can do a processing plant and a testing plant. And there's some standoff distances from primarily residential areas. So the land management code is recommended to be changed to designate where primary residential areas are to make it clear in the ordinance. And then we're proposing what we call an overlay zone on the old Bango Wortley Gordo parcel, which is on the north side of 248 across at the Richardson Flat Road. We've done some soil storage out there in the past. It's where the public utilities building was proposed before it was moved to the golf course. Excuse me. And that's where we would propose that if there was a processing facility, that's where that would go. So we've met state law theoretically by allowing a location for this use. It's not anywhere near any residential areas. It's several thousand feet away from any house. So that's kind of the solution that we're bringing forward.
And so this parcel you talked about, I mean, what's it currently zoned as?
The parcel has 2 zones on it. It's currently zoned residential development and open space, and it was originally acquired for housing. But it's so remote from any use, all we would be doing is putting people out in the middle of the sagebrush with no services, no nothing. And 18 months ago, the city proposed it for the major public utilities building.
Well, you could say the same thing as Empire Pass. I mean, it was out in the pines and firs.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with any of that. And we're trying to resolve that in the planning department, saying if we're going to do housing, let's do housing in the right places and make sure the neighborhoods have the services that they need rather than put them out on the fringes. Empire Pass is a little different because that's a resort community, theoretically. And
well, okay, then let's use the Park City Heights example then. That's out in the middle of nowhere, too.
It is. Yeah. It is, and that was a negotiated settlement for that property. That was not necessarily what our general plan contemplated for housing, and it was not necessarily what we would have done had we had the discretion to do something.
Okay. Well, I guess we keep talking about how we need housing, and we've got kind of a relatively flat area here where you're talking about. And it seems to me that's the cheapest kind of housing to build is flat.
Well, yes and no. I mean, there are external costs that are not related to actually constructing a house, like transportation, like bus service, like access to schools, sewer, water, all of those things are externalities that are not necessarily considered in just where would you put a house.
Okay, let's see. Park City Municipal also proposing rezoning a couple of the Bureau of Land Management parcels in the Rossi Hill Drive area to recreation open space. What are they currently zoned as?
They're currently zoned as estate and historic residential low density.
All right.
We went through a portion of this probably 18 months ago with the Dennis parcels before they had color of title on the 3 historic houses. So we picked up 2 of the 10 parcels 18 months ago and rezoned them to open space when we downzoned the Dennis parcel to historic residential low density. Now we're cleaning up the rest of the parcels before the BLM allows them to go to sale.
And that was done, the historic residential low density, based on the neighbors' input. And we've talked about this before. I mean, we're talking about one of the most dense neighborhoods in town. I mean, why do we need more open space there? Isn't that, again, another great place for some affordable housing on the bus route to Deer Valley?
No, it lives on some pretty steep slopes. And we're making a decision for the wildlife and for the neighbors because Rossi Hill road is very narrow and has some difficulties with snow removal. Deer Valley Loop is very narrow and steep and should not have additional density. And none of these parcels that we're rezoning are big enough to have density on anyway. It's basically remnant mine claims from the 1800s. And so the BLM, when they patented mine claims in the 1800s, had some issues with surveying and where things were. And so these are skinny little narrow triangles. There's one on the north side as well up by Sunnyside Drive in the Sunnyside condos, a remnant parcel that we're trying to rezone as well.
So what happens to those three historic homes there?
The three historic homes are going to be restored. They can do additions to those homes, and there's a little bit of additional density that would go with them. But the original density would have allowed 20 or 30 units on that parcel, and right now I think we're going to allow about 8.
Okay, and are they being sold as one parcel?
No. The subdivision that's coming forward later will create 5 parcels. Okay. That allow for the restoration and additions to those historic houses, and they'll all be restored.
All right, so they're about 600 square feet, if that, maybe enclosed with a porch, yeah. So how big could they be?
I'd have to look in the book, Leslie. I'm sorry. There's the secret code isn't ready for me to answer yet.
All right. Planning Commission will also consider a rezoning proposal in Prospector near the Silver Mountain Sports Club. The applicant wants to change the zone from residential development to general commercial. Where are we talking about first?
So if you think about where Silver Mountain Spa is, if you look in the back of Silver Mountain Spa, just beyond the swimming pool and up against the rail trail, they own a parcel of ground back there, and they're asking to rezone it to general commercial. It's currently zoned residential, which is what Silver Mountain Spa a portion of is zoned. It's kind of another legacy that we're trying to clean up. At one point, Silver Mountain Spa and the Prospector Conference Center were connected as a project, and now, well, in the last decade or so, they've separated into two different uses. The parcels were never created as subdivisions. They still remain as meets and bounds parcel, and so the owner of Silver Mountain Spa is trying to clean that up and then ask the Planning Commission to recommend a rezone in that location. From our standpoint, we still need to resolve some of the parking issues in that location and some of the other things that would come with a mixed-use proposal that Silver Mountain is bringing forward.
So the access to this is kind of that dead end.
Yes.
Behind east of this.
Yeah, it's going to come in the backside.
Yeah.
Because of where the swimming pool and that activity exists.
Okay, and what's the applicant looking to build?
Right now he's talking about approximately 17 units and a mixed use commercial on the first floor.
Okay. And how are you handling the application?
Like we do all of them, the first one is with cynicism and skepticism. And third, what the neighbors want to see in that location. Once we're done with those sort of emotional reactions, we're going to review the parking and access and how that land use affects Prospector neighborhood and the rest of the general commercial in Prospector.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, it's a busy agenda again tomorrow night. And we'll be having some fun, and we'll see you in January.
All right. I did want to ask you, though, the Summit County Council is meeting as we speak, talking about transit visioning. Has Park City done a similar exercise?
Transit visioning?
Mm-hmm.
Not specifically that I'm aware of. However, the Transportation Planning Department is certainly on top of how we want to handle these things. Rightly or wrongly, there are new bus routes inside the city limits that transit has put together in order to deliver skiers and tourists to our resorts and take care of our residents. So in my neighborhood in Park Meadows, we now have 2 buses that are counter-circulating. So one bus goes from Park Meadows to the resort, and the other bus goes the other way from Park Meadows to the resort. That's called the Blue Line, and it goes through Thames Canyon. So, you know, I think transit in the city is as progressive as we can be. Whether or not it all works, whether we can afford it or not, is another whole question.
Okay. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Leslie.
It's Park City Planning Director Bruce Erickson. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW.